Hi, this is Kirsten Korosek with Atonicast, and we have a special guest today while we're in LA. Peter Schwarzenbauer, BMW Group board member, is here to talk to us about all things mobility and sort of where BMW is going with its vision and how it really sees this playing out. So we're going to ask a lot of forecasting questions to you today, Peter. I hope you don't mind.
Great. I love to talk about it.
So maybe we should start there. I mean, where is BMW right now? What is its viewpoint in terms of mobility, autonomous driving, and what that means for how people are going to move around cities?
Yeah, I think, you know, being here now in LA, and I just delivered the opening speech, which is quite a task, you know, coming to the West Coast and being representative of the old automotive industry. As you know, a lot of people here on the West Coast think that we are becoming obsolete. We are going to be disrupted totally in the next several years. Some say sooner, some say later, but most of people agree on this here. And I think it was a good chance for me to show that we don't see this, of course, and also explaining how we are going to tackle it, because you outlined it already a little bit in your question. You know, it's an extremely complex development. There's not the one silver bullet where you can say, oh, if you do this, then you are going to survive. So it's quite a complex way of looking at it. And I guess autonomous driving is probably the last thing we are going to look at. We are many, many steps in between.
For our listeners who might not know, there is a goal of putting out an autonomous driving vehicle by 2021, correct? How do you see that playing out?
I think, first of all, we are developing a technology which is called autonomous driving, which is not just for one vehicle. It's basically a technology platform. And I think what's also different compared to other technologies in the past, we are developing this as an open platform. So the more OEMs who join us in using the same technology, we think the better we are off with this. Because it's extremely important is this safety aspect when it comes to autonomous driving. Because you always have to imagine, you know, what does it mean psychologically that you trust your life to a robot at the end of the day. It's not like, you know, a smartphone where if this crashes, worst case, you lose some data. But if the autonomous vehicle crashes, you might lose your life. So it's a completely different way of looking at safety, maybe. And this is where we also see is a big advantage for our industry, for our company. But you always have to ask yourself a question. You know, who would you trust your life or your kids who are driving with a robot to school to somebody who is just building the first car or to somebody who has a proven record of developing very complex technology and bringing it safely to the market?
That's interesting. As far as the platform is concerned, BMW operates a car sharing service in Europe and in the United States, but who else do you see as potential customers of using this platform? I mean, other automakers that have decided not to develop their own autonomous driving platform, or some other companies that I might not be thinking of? I mean, who's the customer?
Yeah, I think the customer base could be extremely broad, you know, from other OEMs who are not investing now in their own technology when it comes to autonomous driving. They could buy this from us. Mm-hmm. And this is why we are doing this as an open platform. It has to become, in our eyes, a certain industry standard. You know, what does it mean to be able to bring an autonomous car to the market? You cannot just go out, in our opinion, and call something autonomous and not delivering the right technology with it to really do it. So this is why we think, you know, to develop this as an open platform will help us with other car manufacturers. You mentioned some of the big fleet operators, which probably also might be good customers. So we'll have to see how they ever develop. And our own fleets, you know, I mean, why shouldn't we operate own fleets? You know, we are scaling already our current car sharing We are learning a lot in this area as well. So it could be either way, you know. And I think some people in my eyes in the discussion are seeing this now too much black and white. I think we will sell to mobility on demand providers like we do today to rental car companies. It's not a big difference for us. So we are selling big fleets already. So we are selling to mobility on demand. We are probably bringing it also into our own fleets. And we have the OEMs as customers, as potential customers. So the market for this technology, I think, is huge because, as I mentioned before in my speech, I think this technology has the potential to be much more revolutionary than electric driving. Now, electric driving will come sooner or later, but it will not revolutionize how we drive from A to B. You still will be stuck in traffic, just it will be emission-free. But the mobility itself will not be resolved by electric cars. With the autonomous driving, this will change completely how we see mobility today.
So you mentioned earlier that you know, a lot of the pressure to move towards this new world is coming from the West Coast. And I think the high-tech sector is clearly sort of what's been pushing a lot of this forward. And this is going to be sort of an extended transition rather than maybe an overnight thing. How does BMW think about balancing sort of the need to, you know, be on the cutting edge, but also, like you say, you know, make sure that everything is well-tested and safe so that people can trust, you know, these new technologies just as much as they trust a BMW car?
I think, I mean, basically the question goes in the direction, can we live with two speeds within a company? And the answer is it's challenging, but I think we found a way of doing it. Because we should not forget, you know, the strengths our industry or the BMW Group has in producing highly complex products in big scales. And this is not something you do like IT products, changing it constantly all the time. No, you have to produce them extremely safe. We have to continue this route, not to lose this edge. And at the same time, and I give you two examples what I mean with this, the entire IT development, we separated it from the car because we know that if we don't get more speed into this area, we are going to be too slow with some other competitors. So this is a completely new area in our company, which is independent from the car development. And the entire autonomous driving technology is basically also separated from the normal car development. So they are all in one building, actually, about 1,000 engineers right now, together with people from Mobileye and Intel, and they are only working on the technology autonomous driving. So this is where we think how we get two different speeds within the same system.
So there's a lot of excitement around, like you say, electric drive, autonomous drive, things like that. But as you say, one of the core competencies of any car company is really manufacturing complex goods, one of some of the most complex goods on the planet. And BMW in particular has sort of taken a leadership role with you know, using new composite materials in cars. I'm wondering, are there developments, breakthroughs sort of coming down that maybe just with these materials getting more affordable, or I'm not sure what, that will happen on this manufacturing side of things that maybe is not receiving as much attention as electric drive or autonomous drive or some of these other things?
Yeah, I think this is an extremely good question because in my eyes, it's as important as some other technologies is how do you produce the car of the future? And as you rightfully said, we are trying out a lot of new materials. And I think the big breakthrough is how do you combine these materials? In what place do you use certain materials? This is where I think we still can further improve in this area. And so that probably, it's not talked about a lot, but it's probably one of the biggest advantages we have is to use new material on the spot where we think it is right to use it.
You mentioned earlier that you recently rode in a prototype. And so at this point, is it really just a platform that's is embedded in a car? Or is that sort of the design phase of what the autonomous vehicle could look like going to be in development later. I'm just kind of curious how the ride was and sort of what level of testing you're doing right now with this prototype. As I mean, you're still 4 years out from really having to deliver anything, so a little bit early stages. So I'm kind of curious.
I mean, right now you have to see there's nothing about designing the car. It's really only about the technology. And I was driven. You have to get used to I was driven in a current 7 Series, which was basically equipped with all the technology. And it's still, of course, the data needed and the calculation which is needed to get this thing really running as it is. It's still the trunk of the 7 Series is completely full of stuff right now still. So it's, as you said, very early prototype phase. But you could feel already what the capabilities are going to be in several years. And as I mentioned before in the speech also, I think that as soon as you experience this, we should have a broader discussion now also about not the technology alone, but what does it do with us as human beings? How does it change our way of seeing mobility? I think this will be a major discussion in the next years.
I mean, it could go so many different ways. What you had mentioned before was, I think, like, imagine in a world with all autonomous vehicles, you wouldn't have traffic lights anymore or stop signs, and showing what is the best possible outcome. Is it all good? Is it all going to be this like amazing world of self-driving cars where everything's safer and we have parks instead of parking lots? I'm just wondering if BMW has even thought about the darker side of autonomy at all, and or even like other business opportunities that maybe haven't even been explored at all.
As you say, if you look in the future, you get a lot of different opinions on this topic. My opinion on this is clear. I honestly, when it comes to urban mobility, because I think we sometimes talk about mobility without being specific. In an urban mobility environment, I can only see positive things for autonomous driving. It's better for the society. You know, as I said before, it will be zero accident, zero emission, zero noise. I mean, what else can you expect from a mobility service? So this is perfect. And it's also, I think, for the individual, because, you know, a lot of people ask sometimes, yeah, but where does the pleasure of driving stay? Where do you have pleasure of driving today? I came in last night from the airport to downtown L.A. I didn't see any pleasure in standing around on the highway, 405? And I think this is these pain points of mobility we are going to resolve with this technology of autonomous driving. So I only see really the positive side of it. I can't see, and you are absolutely right, we discuss a lot about, you know, what is the downside. And I can't see it.
What's the philosophy about this transition, and what's being done to sort of make sure that these automation systems are not making people worse drivers and making the situation less safe?
The key question here is, you know, how long does this transition period really last? I mean, we talked about now this perfect city. You know, this is, I don't know how many years this will take. The transition period is what you are asking now. I think you will see it in a certain ways of different phases. In my eyes, you will see, let's take a city, LA, that it will start in certain areas dedicated to autonomous driving, and you only can enter this defined area with a technology which is autonomous driving. The rest cannot enter in this area. And then I think from over time, you know, the whole system is going to learn more and more. It's going to expand within a certain city. And here also, there is not the one blueprint where you can go out and say, well, what is right for Los Angeles is also right for Manhattan. There might be different approaches. No, there might not be. There are going to be different approaches because there are so many different styles of cities. And we are working now with many, many cities around the world. We are profiling cities right now to see how is the best way of adapting to autonomous driving over time. So we think this is how it's happening. It's a step-by-step approach. Maybe at the beginning, you know, you have only certain streets where there's no pedestrians, where there's no bicycle traffic. And then this thing is going to expand. And I don't know how long it will take. If you ask now, when is it happening? I don't know. But that's the clear path we are seeing.
The 2021 timeline that's been shared by the company for an autonomous vehicle technology platform, is that going to be level 4 capabilities, or what is the capability? Like, what's the starting point when you first introduced that?
No, the capabilities goes up to level 5.
Right, yeah? Of course.
But what we see in the environment, which has to happen also, regulations, safety issues, insurance questions, all these things which are around this whole topic, we honestly don't believe that the world is ready in 2021 to see a big rollout. So you will have small areas in certain cities where it's tested, but you will not see, only because the technology is available from us, we don't believe in a major rollout in 2021.
In these geofenced areas, at that 2021 time period, I mean, what's the beginner, I guess, starting point capability going to be in those confined areas?
From a customer point of view, again, mm-hmm. if you buy an iNext in 2021, you are probably going to be using level 4. Okay. So eyes and mind off, but you are still in control, or you should be in control if something happens. Technology-wise, we would be also able to offer you level 5, so completely the robot drives. But we don't think that this will be launched in 2021, not because we are not ready, because I think the regulatory world is not ready.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you could always decide to do pilot programs in small areas. You know, it's interesting because a lot of companies are sort of targeting this level 4, which would be the cars handling everything in certain conditions. What is BMW's philosophy with that sort of level 3, just at a high level, not like in an engineering perspective, but just wondering, like, is that problematic?
No, I think, honestly, we have to go through these different levels, because this is how you learn it on one hand. But again, I come back to my other point, is that you also get consumers used to it. Now, imagine if you would jump now immediately from I'm driving today and tomorrow I enter in a robot, you will get a lot of people having issues with this. So adapting also the consumer, that the car is taking over step by step more and more functions, and you get the feeling of security that the car is doing exactly what you expect the car to do. I think this brings us closer towards that also the customer is accepting. You know, we sometimes, when we develop technologies, or when we talk about technology, we forget about how important the acceptance of embracing this technology is going to be, and especially in such a sensitive area when we talk about your life at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
Level 3, it does get you to this acceptance level. So how is BMW thinking about, like, setting up these safety conditions for that, to make sure that the human driver can respond in time? It just seems like that's such a challenge to get the driver responsive again. And I'm just wondering if you've thought about that. I'm sure you've thought about it, but how do you solve that problem?
Yeah, not only thought about it. I mean, and again, last week I was being driven in such a car, and we also had the discussion within the car, what is the best way of bringing the driver back into responsibility? Mm-hmm. And one thing we are also currently testing is more the predictive conditions on what will happen in the next 10, 15 minutes ahead of you. You don't see it yet, but we can predict what will happen. Again, I come back to my example of yesterday. If you are coming from the airport to downtown LA and you are stuck in traffic and it goes slowly into one direction, 4, 5, 6 lanes, whatever Highway 405 has, the prediction that you have to take over is extremely small. If we see that there is a traffic condition ahead of you, we could start to warn you a little bit earlier before you realize it, mm-hmm. that something is coming. So this is what we are currently looking into it. How can this prediction help to ease you into your responsibility again so that you don't get surprised by something? The car I was driven in last week, when the takeover function came, the light of the steering wheel changes and it comes out slightly. You get a sign, okay, it's time for me to take over again. And then comes the handover. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you have to take it now. We think that it is important to go in the development phase through these different levels, because you not only learn on the technology, you also learn on how to use it.
I'm wondering what your prediction is after we see this all play out. Do you think that some established automakers, and probably a lot of startups, but some of the companies that have existed in our current modern history of a long time producing cars, do you think that they're going, that some of them will end up failing as companies?
I think I am pretty convinced that this autonomous driving technology is a revolution. And if you look at history, that whenever there was a technology revolution, not everyone made it. So this would be probably the easiest prediction without knowing whom is going to make it and who not.
Well, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It was really good.
Thanks, Kirsten. Fascinating stuff from BMW Group board member Peter Schwarzenbauer. That's all for the Autonicast this week. As always, you can find Alex Roy on all social media platforms at AlexRoy144. Kirsten Korosek is on Twitter at Kirsten Korosek. And I am on Twitter at Tweetermeyer. Join us next week for more conversations about autonomy and mobility here on the Autonicast. Thank you.